You're listening to Culture Narrow Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Culture Narrow Chat is Fosse Posse manager Shane Evans. Shane Evans is the guest on this edition of Culture Narrow Chat. Shane is the manager of SB Nation's Leicester City blog, and you can probably guess what he's here to talk about. Atletico Madrid's 1-0 win over Leicester City in the Champions League quarterfinal first leg on Wednesday. Topics of discussion include Antoine Griezmann. Was he correctly given a penalty, or were Leicester hard done by? Also, despite the 1-0 result, Leicester feel pretty confident entering the second leg at King Power next week, but so do Atletico. We'll offer a preview of the second leg as well as analyzing everything there is to analyze about the first leg after this. So, I guess my first question would be, what, if anything, surprised you about yesterday's result? It finished 1-0. Did that surprise you?
Not really. I mean, looking at how Leicester performed in the first leg against Sevilla, in similar type circumstances on the road and in a new environment and things like that, I think it was kind of what we were all expecting in a lot of ways. You know, they didn't have a lot of the ball. I think it's like 35% possession there. So that was kind of expected in a lot of ways. And I think the only thing that really surprised me was the penalty call, which I'm still on the fence about exactly how that was called a penalty. But other than that, I think the result itself was what a lot of people saw coming, and I think the leg in Leicester, the King Power, would be a lot different.
Yeah, it definitely could be, especially if Leicester attack more, which I want to talk about in a minute. But a couple of things did surprise me about this. They're not necessarily the result, because at this time of the season in this competition, that's expected for Atletico grind out a 1-0 like that. What surprised me is just how much possession Atletico rang up, 68% according to Who Scored. Is, I think, the highest total in the Simeone era. So that's 5.5 years. If not the highest, I think it's like the second highest. So 68% possession. I really expected Atletico to not have as much of the ball. It was up to 80% at one point, which was staggering. Leicester let them have the ball. They won that battle, and they did a really good job limiting the damage to just the Griezmann penalty. I think another thing that surprised me was just how Leicester were not at all threatening on the counterattack. They really could not string together two or three passes. Atletico really did a good job limiting them in transition. Jamie Vardy was completely isolated up top, especially after the formation change at halftime. Really was surprising that Leicester weren't that threatening. But again, the second leg is likely going to be a lot different.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, this point will actually speak to both of your points about the possession and the attacking inefficiencies by Leicester, but I think Danny Drinkwater had a really poor game. He wasn't really connecting on his passes. He wasn't winning the ball as much, and his usual forward vision and creativity to kind of build a play and build the attack going forward just wasn't quite there. I think you can give a lot of credit to Atletico's midfield for just overpowering him in a lot of ways. Craig Shakespeare's solution to that was to bring on another central midfielder, Andy King, to try and help out with the situation, which I think it did a little bit, but then it just caused more of a problem for Vardy up top. So the play was just a little disjointed for Leicester, and you see that sometimes, and we saw it quite a bit in the first leg against Sevilla too. There were some more attacking chances in that game for sure, but I think, the club will adapt for the next leg, and I think you might even see Islam Slimani start instead of Okazaki, which could add a different element that, you saw in the first 45 minutes yesterday that, Shinji, to his credit, runs himself into the ground, but didn't really create or do much that was, positive. So we might see a little bit of a change that kind of suits the team a little bit more for the home leg next week.
Yeah, I just saw Okazaki running a lot, not really doing anything, which is, you know, I guess part of the reason he was pulled at halftime. But yeah, you spoke of the of Andy King coming on at halftime, and Shakespeare said after the game that was a change intended to kind of limit Griezmann's influence and stop him from getting in between the lines, which he did a lot in the first half, and it mostly worked. Griezmann was not as good in the second half, and Atletico's chances really dried up. But Leicester's did as well. It really stifled Leicester's creativity. Do you think Shakespeare is going to be satisfied with just not scoring the away goal, but only down 1-0?
I mean, the general feeling of a lot of this, and it's kind of been a weird feeling, just, you know, in the run-up to Leicester actually winning the title last year and how they've been playing in the Champions League this year, it's, you know, well, 1-0 result for Leicester City in Madrid against Atletico is like, it's essentially a good result for the club. And I'm very encouraged, and I think the team should be very encouraged, just given how well they reacted in the second leg, like in the knockout stage against Sevilla, and just their kind of pedigree at home at the King Power Stadium. I think it's a very manageable situation to be in, and I think they can get they're going to take a lot of comfort from the fact that there wasn't a goal scored from open play, and the second half was much more sound defensively. And I think Atletico, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jeremy, but it seemed like they were getting a little frustrated offensively.
Yeah, they were.
And that just plays right into Leicester's hands going into the second leg.
Yeah, there was definitely some frustration. And again, in the second half, the chances really, really dried up as Leicester's midfield, particularly King, particularly Wilfred Ndidi, who I thought played a really good game and didn't get booked either, which was really important for him not to get the yellow card and suspended for the second leg. But the way Atletico dominated the game in terms of possession, in terms of opportunities, Leicester didn't have a shot on target the entire game. Jan Oblak wasn't troubled a bit. There's the feeling, and from my side, as an Atletico writer, there's a feeling that there were opportunities missed here, and it kind of harkens back to the first leg that you guys played at Sevilla, when Sevilla won 2-1, but lost focus, gave up that goal to Vardy with less than 20 minutes to go, and that really changed the tie. You know, the good news for Atletico is that there wasn't a goal conceded here. Leicester are not taking anything back to the King Power, but there is a sense that if this is 2-0 Atletico, then it's a much, much different tie and a much different dynamic entering the second leg. There's just the sense that there were chances missed here.
You know, absolutely. I think 2-0 going to the second leg is a way different situation for Leicester to be in. I think it's a much taller, not only score two goals yourself, but then keep Atletico off the board with the hopes of going to extra time, or, you know, having to score three goals to go through without it. So definitely a good situation for Leicester to be in. I think the general feeling amongst the club and supporters is that it's a manageable one, that if they play in any way similar to how they did in second leg against Sevilla, that, you know, we could be seeing ourselves in the semifinal.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think you guys absolutely should be confident. From an Atletico perspective, if Atleti score next week, though, then it's over. And also, if Atleti don't concede next week, it's over. So I think both sides should kind of fancy their chances here. But I totally get it. I totally respect the confidence that Leicester fans have, and they should have it. It was totally creditable what they did on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. And just, again, that second leg against Sevilla, it was almost night and day compared to the first leg. And I'm not saying that's exactly how it's going to go down next week, but there's definitely was a different team on the field that, you know, played into the hands of the home crowd, and definitely the support there is something that the team is noticeably fed off of in the past. And I think that's going to, you know, be on display next week.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a bit of a different Atletico also, because I think Atletico they're not going to ring up 68% possession again. I think they're going to give up the ball a bit more easily than they did Wednesday. And that, I think, will play more into Atleti's hands if they don't have the ball. But we'll see. And we'll see. Atletico have a couple players coming back from injury. Kevin Gamero might be coming back next week. Shimi Vrsaljko, right back, he may be coming back, although Juan Fran played very well there on Wednesday. So we'll see what Simeone has in his bag of tricks for next week. But Shakespeare said post-game that they're going to attack more, that they're going to try to create more chances. And I, when I read that quote, I thought, okay, that's going to play into Atleti's hands because Leicester are going to want more of the ball. Did you see it that way?
I think so. It can look at it a number of different ways, but yes. Leicester's attacking mentality in this system that Shakespeare has played and it's won in the title last year, it wasn't necessarily possession based. When we had more possession in some games against, you know, some lower quality teams, it was almost more difficult for Leicester to score. So I think when he says attacking in that sense, there's going to be a lot of, you know, the counterattacking situation that, you know, Atletico is known for as well. So I see the main thing that I see is that, you know, potentially Slimani taking Okazaki's spot, and he's a more of a dynamic forward in a lot of ways, and I think that could change how the game is played in some cases. But I think that Mahrez will be more involved, and there's going to be a little more organization in the midfield that then leads to an attack. It's not going to be, you know, just a lot of possession, a lot of, you know, meticulous movement of the ball. It's just going to be some pretty quick, punchy stuff that they couldn't really accomplish on Wednesday.
Sure. And Mahrez was kept pretty quiet on Wednesday, too. He had that dive in the box on about the hour mark, which I thought was like a 7 or 8 out of 10. It was really well done.
I thought that was going to be yellow for him, for sure. That was a pretty blatant dive if I've ever seen one.
It was quite dramatic, yeah. So other than that, he was pretty quiet on Wednesday. He's going to have to have more influence next week, and I think there's a chance that he will. And Slimani, I think, is a guy whose aerial prowess is going to be something that Diego Godin and Stefan Savage will have to deal with. He won two headers in just 15 minutes on Wednesday, so that's something that Atleti have got to account for, have got to respect. Also on Wednesday, I was impressed by Johan Benelouane, who had played just 3 games this season, and he very much held his own. What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, basically non-existent for the last, you know, 18 months.
Yeah,
and kind of been thrust into the lineup, you know, these last few weeks, and he's performed well. He wasn't any slouch by any means when we bought him. And he's just was not in the plans last year with Huth and Morgan basically playing every minute of the entire season. So it was hard for him to see time, but, you know, played really well on Wednesday and will continue to, you know, hold his starting lineup spot next week with Huth suspended with 3 yellow card accumulation. So I like what I've seen from him. He's a solid defender. He did quite well in the first leg, and, you know, it's going to be a different match, obviously, in the second leg with a lot more at stake. But I think he, you know, he's a seasoned professional who's played in the top leagues and he's played in Europe before. So he kind of is accustomed to what is ahead for Leicester.
Yeah, your defense is going to look a little different for the second leg. Of course, Huth is suspended and Wes Morgan's still coming back from a back injury. What's the latest on him? Is he going to be fit for next week?
I would be very surprised if he doesn't. You make the starting lineup for next week. He's had one of those, like, you know, lingering back issues that just doesn't seem to, like, get 100%. But I think with the circumstances as they are, with Leicester's only other center back being, you know, Daniel Amarte, who is by trade a holding midfielder, right, and a, you know, right back is the second position, and he's never played center back for Leicester. So I think Morgan knows what's at stake here and that, you know, he should be, you know, ready to go by next week.
Like, you have to think that it has to be something really serious to keep him out of that game, because that's the biggest game in the club's history.
Yeah, and I think it was closer than a lot of people thought for him to play on Wednesday. So, with an extra, you know, 5 or 6 days to prepare and get his, you know, back in order, and given the circumstances with Huth being out, I think it's almost a no-brainer that he's in the starting 11.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if he didn't play. He may be a little hobbled, but he has to be out there because Leicester just don't have any other options with Huth suspended.
It's true, and you know, Amarte is a great player and a very athletic and smart young player, but he's also never played the position for Leicester. And then with, you know, Benelouane being his partner, who he would have never played with, it's gonna be a really tough one for him to just kind of slot in there.
Yeah, but again, credit to Benelouane. He played really well yesterday, especially in the second half when Leicester were much more, much more solid defensively. He was
good. I don't think you could ask any Leicester supporter how they thought that would have gone, and they wouldn't have given a good answer like that. So it's good to see him get in there and perform when needed by the club.
Yeah, he was supposed to be like the weak link, but he was very strong yesterday. So
agreed.
It was a good performance for him. Let's talk about the penalty, which was controversial. Saw quite a few dissenting views on it. It was from a corner that Atletico dealt with really well. Ball comes out to Antoine Griezmann, who just turns on the afterburners. He jets down the left-hand side. He cuts into the 18-yard box, and Mark Albrighton bundles him over. Jonas Eriksson, the referee, does not hesitate in giving the penalty. Griezmann then steps up, takes a really nice penalty, which I think a lot of Atletico supporters didn't expect him to score because he has a very bad record from the spot. But he took a really smooth penalty, sent Schmeichel the wrong way. Was it a penalty, Shane?
Well, I'm never going to say that I know more than a referee because I'm not a referee and I can't speak to their level of expertise. Yeah. But just looking from the angle that he had, and it was very, he was in a very good position for this. It looked like the contact was started outside the box, which, you know, I mean, my understanding of the rules is means the foul was initiated outside the box. It should be a free kick outside the box, but maybe there was only the slight bit of contact, and then, you know, Griezmann's momentum was still going, which took him into the box, and then the foul continued. But for me, I think Albrighton is a smart enough player and is aware of this, you know, the situation that he was in, that I think he knew that he was trying to foul outside of the box to, you know, avoid that situation altogether. So for me, it's a tough one. If the call goes the other way, I wouldn't be unhappy at all if Leicester doesn't get a penalty there. But at the same time, it's a hard one to say not being in that situation. So my gut reaction to, you know, when I first saw it was it shouldn't have been a penalty.
Yeah, and it took me a few replays to kind of see it. It wasn't clear-cut, though, and I think that's the biggest thing working in Atletico's favor was that it wasn't a clear-cut decision. I saw a couple reporters saying that the foul clearly continued into the area. Albrighton shoved Griezmann in from the right side.
Right.
And Griezmann clearly fell in the area, which may have been intended, and that may have swung the pendulum. But I think it would have been... I don't think it would have been harsh to say it wasn't a penalty. I think it's debatable, and I'm not sure I lean one way or the other, but the fact that it wasn't so clear-cut after multiple replays tells me that Eriksson not necessarily didn't get it right, but he didn't get it totally wrong either.
Right, and that's all fair, and I agree with that verdict there, but just looking at the rest of the game, I don't think he had a particularly great game refereeing. There's some questionable calls and areas where I thought fouls could have been given that he gave similar ones previous in the match. So those inconsistencies just really make it hard to say one way or another that a penalty should have been called. But, you know, looking at the one moment, the one foul, you know, it is what it is. The penalty was called. Kasper Schmeichel obviously didn't agree, had some words afterwards, but, yeah, it's just a tough situation, but I think given the result as it was, as you know, the only goal led up was a penalty, I think, you know, that's a good thing for Leicester in the long run.
Yeah, like you said, not conceding from open play is something that's something they'll take back to England. Eriksson, I thought he was okay. There were some points in the game where he would, you know, whistle everything for a foul, and then other points in the game where he just waved play on. And those inconsistencies were weird, and it made for kind of a choppy game that really didn't need any added choppiness because of the two teams playing in it.
Right.
So, he was a bit inconsistent there.
Which is unfortunate for a game of that magnitude, but I guess you can't really avoid that sometimes as well either, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so it ended 1-0 after really very little happened in the second half. I just get the feeling Atletico probably should have added another. But then this is a team with so much experience in the Champions League and so good in knockout football that there is confidence that they're going to be able to go to England and see this one out and see a 1-0 out. But understandably, Leicester fans will disagree. Leicester fans think that they have a shot, which they absolutely should after not falling behind 2-3 or 4-0, which they could have. Hey, Shane.
Hello? Hey, sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened there.
Oh, no problem. No worries. I'm still recording. So, what was the last thing you heard?
Just about being a wild result.
Okay, yeah. So, overall, it finished 1-0 after a very few chances in the second half, and we're going to feel, you know, that Atletico should have scored another goal or two, especially after the start. Leicester fans will understandably feel that going back to King Power, this will be a much different tie. But this is where I think Atletico are going to differ from Sevilla, in that Atletico have a lot of experience in closing these things out. They are great in knockout football. And that's going to be different than Sevilla, who went to England very nervous, very jittery, especially after falling behind. And they fell right into Leicester's trap and had 70% possession and just lofted high cross after high cross into the box. And that was just suicidal. I don't think Atletico are going to fall into those same traps.
Yeah, but the only difference and thing that Atletico may not be able to prepare for is the fact that Leicester is in a position of where they don't have anything to lose, really. They were never really expected to get this far. They're in a good position from the first leg, and they're just going to be playing, I'm not going to say reckless, but they're going to be totally amped up for this game and in a position where they can go out and just really go after it. And I think that's going to be something that Atletico hasn't really seen before, because they haven't really had an opponent this far in the Champions League before that has that kind of that mentality where they can really just go after it in a very kind of aggressive way, given that they weren't really supposed to be there to begin with. So that's the one thing I would be cautious of if I were Atletico. But at the same time, they do have a lot of seasoned players who have been in tough situations before. So I see the visitors handling it pretty well.
Yeah, Simeone, I think, mentioned as much after Wednesday. He said, we're going to go to England and we're expecting an atmosphere and a great night of football. So I think he and the players know what's going to be waiting for them there. Leicester, I'd expect they're going to get off to a really fast start. They're going to try to get a goal very, very early. And Atleti will go from there. They'll adjust their plans accordingly. I'd expect they're going to come out with a lot of energy, and Atleti have to be ready for that.
Yeah, and that stadium just kind of breeds that mentality and that like aggressiveness and that energy. So it's gonna be an interesting early part of the game, and we can see. You know, I can definitely see Leicester getting the goal early, but then that could also change the whole complexion of the game, because you know then it's on them to keep Atletico off the scoreboard for the rest of the match. So it's gonna be an interesting start, I think. The crowd will be into it and Leicester will be into it, and it's just going to have to be a measured approach rather than one that's a little too, you know, reckless as well.
Yeah, and I had a really good point to make on this, but I just forgot. it'll come back to me, I'm sure. But anyway, a couple other notes from Wednesday. This was the 16th clean sheet in 18 of the last 18 Champions League home games for Atletico, which is pretty staggering. It's also 18 out of 22 home games all time in the Simeone era in the Champions League. That streak has included keeping out teams like Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Chelsea, Real Madrid, now Leicester added to that list. So pretty impressive. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Yeah. And even if Leicester do get the goal next week, they are going to have to keep Atleti off the score sheet or score again. And the way Atletico's defense is, and the way, especially in Europe in the knockout stages, I'm not sure I can see Leicester putting up two or three on Atletico and progressing to the semifinal that way. I'm just not sure I see it, because Atletico are much better defensively than Sevilla, much more organized. I could be wrong, absolutely, but if Atleti score, it's going to be very tough for Leicester, even if Leicester score.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I think it puts Leicester in a very difficult position if they score early on. But I can't help but go back to the fact that, like, I've thought that Leicester couldn't accomplish things in the past, and then they have. So it's with this, you know, essentially this core group of people, players. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes down, but I'm trying not to be surprised by anything that Leicester does these days. As far down the table as they were earlier in this year, didn't really surprise me either. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, but I definitely wouldn't count Leicester out quite yet.
Yeah, you definitely shouldn't be surprised by anything that club does. You never know for sure.
It's absolutely right.
After 5,000 to 1, anything is possible.
I still can't really believe that happened. So
yeah,
not even totally registered yet.
You and a lot of other people, man. So this weekend, you guys are away to Crystal Palace. What do you expect Shakespeare's team is going to look like? You expect heavy rotations?
No, I mean, that's not really his style. And I say that coming off of a week where he made 5 changes going into the league against Everton. But I think for this match, we'll see a pretty consistent lineup for this one, just because, given how they didn't really create a whole lot and didn't against the Mons, with a little consistency and getting the team kind of in a good mindset going into the leg is important. And we a couple changes, but I think the most consistent lineup that is yielded at Zeller Spartan Saturday.
Yeah, and that does make sense. You want to keep some continuity there. And Leicester will not have to travel. Leicester won't have to travel. They'll have I think they're going to have 2 days off ahead of this. Yeah, because the second leg is on Tuesday and this game is on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be another one of those kind of results that we saw last week against Everton. But, the club is very focused on this second leg. So I think no matter what happens, it'll be a game that isn't really, the implications of the match aren't going to be huge for Leicester.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way. I mean, mid table is pretty much secured after the last few weeks, after the run following Ranieri's departure. Atletico are hosting Osasuna also on Saturday. I would expect a couple rotations from Simeone there. Koke is suspended due to yellow card accumulation. He picked up a yellow card for time wasting at the end of the Madrid derby. So he came so close to getting out of that without a yellow card, but it was not to be. So Koke will likely, he will be out Saturday. I'm going to guess Cholo makes a couple other changes depending on the health of his squad. If Gamero is healthy, if Roselco is healthy, he's not going to make wholesale changes because that isn't what Simeone does either. He doesn't. Unless it's like the early rounds of a cup competition, he doesn't make wholesale changes like that. So I would expect Atleti to run out a pretty strong team with a couple changes. If they get up early against the worst team in La Liga, they've been the worst team all year, although they have won their last 2 games. But if Atleti get out to an early lead, maybe a 1 or 2 goal advantage around the hour mark, then he'll start pulling players like Griezmann. Maybe you'll see Felipe Luis come off in preparation for Tuesday. So kind of a similar dynamic.
Cool. Yeah, it will be a similar kind of situation. I think a lot of the hopes and dreams of the club ride on this second leg, and just to kind of continue that fairy tale from last season. So it'd be interesting to see how Saturday goes. But the club is definitely at least one eye firm on this week.
Yeah, hi. How are you feeling about the run in Leicester now? 11th in the table on 36 points, 5 wins from the last 6 in the league. How are you feeling about the run in? Where do you think they're going to finish when it's all said and done in the Premier League?
Yeah, they still have a bunch of difficult matches coming up to close out the year. I think where they are now, being 9th, 11th, 12th range is fine. Particularly given where they were earlier in the season.
Right.
So. The number one priority was staying in the Premier League early on, and I don't think that's changed that much because that was the goal going into the season as well. So I think the run-in will be a tough one, but this Champions League tie is top priority right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when is this going to happen again? They're not going to be in Europe next year. Of course, they're 21 points off the. Off the pace there. Yeah, who knows when the next European night for Leicester will be. So Tuesday is going to be, it's going to be pretty special, regardless of what happens.
At this point, I won't be there, but it's going to be a good one.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to be a barn burner, and we're going to be covering it at Into the Calderon. You guys at Fosse Posse are as well. So very, very exciting stuff. What else you got, Shane? Anything you want to plug? Anything you want to tell the listeners about before we sign off here?
We're one of the newer SB Nation blogs, so if you read some good stuff about Leicester, by all means, come check us out.
Yeah, they're doing good work over there, and they are pretty new, so give them a read. Yeah, they got some good things happening over there. All right, well, that'll do it for this edition of Colts Narrow Chat. I'd like to thank my guest, Shane Evans. Shane, thanks so much for hopping on, man.
No problem. Appreciate it.
Good luck on Tuesday, but not much. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same to you. I'll ask you to stick around for just a minute as I sign off, but where can people get at you on Twitter?
Follow me at Shane Evans with one E.
Shane Evans with one E. Got it.
And then the Foss Posse. You can find us on there.
Yep. Follow them there as well. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBeren. That's JBBEREN. You can also follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. You can also listen and subscribe to all new and archived editions of Colts Narrow Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Leave a rating and review on iTunes. Really helps us out here. And that's about all I've got. So thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back on Saturday after Atletico's game against Osasuna. We'll catch you then. Adios.